On. Mr. Cole, are we ready? Is Mr. Cole around? Oh, let me, there we got the thumbs up. And Mr. Cole, did we have a public comment?
Mr. Chair, yeah, we did have a couple people sign up, and just the nature of the meeting we just had, I wasn't sure exactly what Chair Bartel wanted to do. So we did have four people who signed up for public comment. Yeah.
Was that for the joint meeting? Did they?
Yeah, I think, let's see. It might just take me a second to see exactly. It was, I think, three out of four wanted to comment on the CARES Act funding.
Okay. So we do have one then for our work session. Yes. That was my original question.
Okay. I believe so. Yeah. Would you like to hear from that person today?
Yeah, we'll do that once we're done discussing here. So
okay, sounds good. Thanks.
All right, we'll just come back to order for Section B here to do our work session on public health and safety and also early childhood services division. So our last work session of the session. We'll just open it up to any questions. I'll start out on our ask here for public health and safety. We had asked about the birth certificate rule, and I did not see, doesn't mean I didn't get it, but you guys able to find the department status on that?
Chair Regeer, members of the committee, we are currently working on those information requests, but from our initial review, it looks like there was a rule articulated by the department in 2017, and then following that in the special session was the bill, I think, that was mentioned during the last meeting. So I think it seems like the sequence was flipped on that question, but I'd like to go ahead and confirm that, and we'll get it to you.
Okay. Yeah, is that rule still in place, or is that information that you still need to dig out?
That rule still is in place.
All right. Just so then I understand the timeline, that the rule was put into place in 17 regular session, and then there was a bill in 17 special session implementing the same thing?
Chair Regeer, yes. So in spring of 2017, there was a rule related to the item that you mentioned on the birth certificates. And then in special session, it appears that there was a bill debated regarding that rule change.
And did that bill fail?
I understand that it did.
Okay, so the bill failed and we still have the rule doing the same thing.
That's correct, Chair.
Okay. Another question for, and this is, I don't know where Senator Keenan is, I'll ask it for him. The org charts, I've just had a few committee members that still do not have those org charts. I know you'd printed them off on a, we're over physically there, but, and we're also missing the org chart, I believe, for HRD. What is that, Division 11?
Chair Regeer, members of the committee, we are operating a little bit light staffed today with the state holiday, so I will check with Mr. Croson after this meeting and just make sure we've gotten all of those, and anything that we're missing, get printed and get over to you, sir. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, yeah, I didn't get any org charts, so if there's a way I can come pick some up, I would do that.
Ms. Johnson, is that something you had electric? I know.
They didn't come to me, sir, so I don't have them, and David is out today. But I will touch base with him via phone after this call and just make sure everybody knows what everybody else is supposed to be doing.
Okay, great. Maybe if we get those hard copies and put them back in Quinn's office, Senator McNally, you're able to get them hard copied that way, right?
Yes, I can do that.
Some of those were printed on irregular sizes, so
right.
That'd probably be the easiest.
I think it's not possible to email them because they're some of them are written on not common software, so they're they're not openable by people unless you've got that specific software on your computer. So we're just doing hard copy of all of it.
Yeah, let's just stick with that then for those. Senator Glim, I see on our ask we had for early childhood services, a list of family planning clinics. Did we ever receive that?
Chair Regeer, Senator Glim, we have that ready for you. So we'll get all of those requests tied up and ready, and we can get those to you.
Okay.
I would just say, generally speaking, on the outstanding data requests, I didn't ask people to come in over the weekend to print those, and we don't have staff here today to print it, so we will get everything delivered over there first thing in the morning, if not this afternoon. If I might stick around and just do some hardcore printing this afternoon.
Thank you. So. All right, did anybody else have any questions on these two divisions? Or I know we had a lot of asks, but maybe we got it all taken care of. Deering, let's go with Senator Keenan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this would be for Todd Harwell. Last week, I think it was Friday, I mentioned to Ms. Johnston that I noticed that there was some hospital emergency preparedness grants over the last few years, and I'm not going to try and dig through my pile of papers and find it right now. But it was, I think it was $4.5-5 million or something like that. And if you're not prepared now, that's fine. But I was curious where that money went, what was it spent on, and did it get us in a better place when ultimately an emergency did in fact occur? These grants were pre-COVID. Is that understandable?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank Senator you. Keenan. If it's all right, could I defer that question to Mr. Murphy? That's in the Communicable Disease Control and Prevention Bureau.
Mr. Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Senator Keenan, I'll address that the best way I can. So hospital preparedness is part of our emergency preparedness unit. It received a lot of money since 9/11 to kind of beef up the systems. Specifically in the last few years, our federal funding sources asked us to develop the capacity to respond to the events like we have now by developing regional coalitions. Montana was divided into about four different areas, and we worked closely with the Montana Hospital Association to carve up these regions, which represent all the healthcare providers and all the relevant partners in each one, to prepare for events like that we're experiencing right now. I think some of the most immediate benefits we saw when COVID came on the scene because of that preparation that was done was the collection of data was streamlined. There was a lot of federal requests for data related from, you know, hospitalization rates to PPE supplies. That information was readily available because of our work with MHA and the data systems that were put into place to collect that. It was evolving. They asked for more information pretty much every week that we pretty much had to kind of tailor those systems for. But MHA and that partnership that Hospital Preparedness built was essential to help us with this. I think one of the other things I would, you know, say about that is the training that was able to be provided to those hospitals on things like hospital incident command, as well as, you know, some of the advanced care, came in handy for those hospitals to meet the surge that many of them experienced as COVID cases started to be transferred to the larger facilities in Montana. We can provide more information if that would be helpful to you, but I think those are the high points.
No, that's good on you. Thank you very much. That's a great answer. That's kind of what I was curious about. So it wasn't, you know, hospital-specific physical plant modifications or anything like that. It was more technological infrastructure, I guess. And then that brings me to another question, and it may be something that it's not any part of your oversight or anything, but you mentioned Hospital Association. And in Kalispell, we watched when the emergency began, the hospital was in a position where I think it laid off 400 or 500 employees, and elective surgeries were eliminated or postponed and all that sort of stuff. And then what do we have 5 months later? They're in desperate need of employees. So we had this pendulum swing back and forth. I don't know. Was that any part of your communication with them, or is that all a human resource nightmare for the individual hospitals?
Mr. Chair, Senator Keenan, I think what we experienced in Montana was very similar to what other areas experienced. The facilities voluntarily decided to suspend elective procedures. That was not a directive from the governor's office or any advice from us. It was pretty much what was being done nationally as they tried to get their, wagons in a circle and try to prepare for what was coming their way. They suspended, a lot of the procedures to protect the healthcare workers that they thought were going to be necessary for the response to COVID cases. And in many cases, that turned out to be exactly what they needed to do. In mid-sized facilities, that need probably wasn't as great as it was for the large ones that accepted transfers. But that was something that, they did voluntarily to kind of, get things in place as needed to respond to the outbreak. I know it put them in a difficult position in many ways, and that's why some of the federal funding came along to help them out.
Thank you very much.
Do we have any other further questions from the committee? All right. Seeing none, thanks to the department, and thank you ahead of time for getting that stuff to us today. So before we go into public comment and update on the schedule, so what we're going to do is bump executive action back a day. We're going to do it Thursday and Friday, so we'll take the next 2 days off. They'll give you a chance to get with staff and finalize the DPs and give staff a little more time to get them all written up. So that will be our schedule moving forward, executive action Thursday and Friday. Any questions on that? Yeah, 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock on Thursday then will be our next meeting. Okay, so with that, do we have any physical public comment here? Seeing none, Mr. Cole, we'll move to online.
Mr. Chair, the one person who I think was going to comment on public health and safety is, I don't see her, but she did submit written testimony.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cole. Okay. So with that, then we are adjourned till Thursday at 8 o'clock.